Are you still on the fence about coming to the retreat?
Well, I hope I can get you off that fence because let me tell you, I am so excited about being there. I'm so excited for so many reasons. So let me just tell you why. You know, it's going to be great to be there, to be with like-minded believers, but it's also going to be great to have some of that alone time with the Lord. You know, I also expect Him to do a work in me. I expect that when I leave there, I'll be prepared to be a conduit, to be used by Him, to be used to reach the generations in my family. So I don't know about you, but I plan to be there, and I hope that I will see you there too. Ladies, get ready for an experience that's unforgettable. A women's retreat is coming to Houston, Texas at the Weston Oaks Hotel within the Galleria Shopping Mall. It's hosted by the Teachable Woman podcast. Save the date because it's July 25th through the 27th, 2024. Expect to have fun, laugh, and uncover the treasures in Jesus. Know that God has this retreat tailor-made for you. To be a part of this incredible journey, simply register at teachablewoman.com and secure your spot today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Teachable Woman podcast. I'm excited to be with you today. We have some great things that we're going to be sharing. I am Reverend Michelle Oz. I have a special guest with us today. And together we are teachers of good things. I have with us Sister Willie Mae Gordon, and she is going to be sharing with us some practical things that we need to know about the widowhood state. So thank you so much for being with us. Welcome, Sister Gordon.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Sister Gordon is an absolute precious person in the body of Christ. And just her love just emanates, her acceptance and her willingness to share. And so at this very new journey for her, I did approach her and she was willing. So I want to say thank you for that, because sometimes in the early stages, we want to protect how we feel. But in your early stage, you were willing to share with the body of Christ. So thank you for that. Now let us know how new widowhood is.
Well, I got this journey started on March the 12th of 2024, just 1 month and 1 day ago. Though it was very recent, it feels like it was just yesterday, even though it's been, like I said, a month and one day. But I'm still getting used to, you know, living alone. But I will say, amen, God had already prepared me, gave me 3.5 weeks advance notice when I had to start living by myself. Amen. So when the day came, the time came for him to leave his earthly journey, it was not a surprise to me. And I could still keep focusing on what God had already allowed me, which was he prepared me for this, for that very day. And I didn't think about that until after I got the call saying his heart has stopped. So that I reflect on that, and I say that only because that has really helped me get to where I am to this point. And I readily accepted it, though I missed my husband, but I knew God knows and knew best at that time.
Amen. Amen. So can you share with us, since it is so fresh with you, some of the things that the new widow needs to know? What are the kinds of things we need to handle? What are the kinds of things we need to address, to consider? You know, the shock and the awe of it can be gripping. I'm thankful that you had an opportunity to prepare and you remembered when you got that call that God had given you preparation time. But sometimes there isn't preparation time. It's immediate. But we still, whether it's immediate or whether we've had time to prepare, there's still some basic practical things that we need to do. So can you share some of those?
Surely, surely. please, please, whatever you do, do the best you can to get pre-planning in place, because it makes everything go a little bit smoother when you already know, all right, this is what your husband, you know, either said or had planned in writing. Fortunately, I had been trying to get my husband to do a will for 20 years. He got this will done in September of 23. Then,
wow.
When he got it done, the next thing that happened was that he had an accident in his wheelchair and broke his leg, not knowing I'm just not ever going to walk again. So this was just September.
Oh,
yes. And after that happened, we went over all of his pre-planning and he agreed to go ahead and do it. So he put things in writing in the will where everything was supposed to be distributed, dot, 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 who he wanted to do what. That made the process, when it was time to make the funeral arrangements and to contact the funeral home, all I had to do was contact the funeral home. Everybody didn't get that opportunity. That's why it's so important,
amen,
to do pre-planning or at least know the desires of the person. Because there's so many things you have to deal with after, which is where I am now. I have been spending so much time after death, finalizing, getting everything closed out to what he had going on, and yet still maintain what I have to do for myself and for the house. So it has been overwhelming, but by God's grace, I have just been surrounded by so many loving people, my family, my church family, until I just celebrate. I'm celebrating his life every day as I reflect.
Amen.
Though he's not here physically, I still reflect, because for me, the homegoing celebration was such a joy for me. It was strength for me. And in my weak moments, which I do have occasionally, I just reflect and I find myself kind of chuckling or laughing, or I'll talk to him and say, okay, Daddy T, look what you've done to me again. I still talk. But having those things in place before will really help you. And then if you need guidance, always consult your pastor. Probably you have a pastor. If not, make sure you get with a man or a woman of God who can give you proper instruction. Not try to take over, but they're there for you, which was a big bonus for me with my pastor and my son-in-law, Pastor White. He was there every step, amen, of the way, he and my daughter. And they were there for support for me. It's good,
amen,
to have that in place before, because the after is so much more work that's got to be done.
You are absolutely right. I want to take a moment just to dive into the pre-planning and what we mean when we talk about pre-planning. First of all, we want to dispel the myth that it is disrespectful to the person who is alive to want to pre-plan their desires for their homegoing service, or whether they're going to be cremated or whether they're going to be buried. Those who's going to speak on their behalf, what they're leaving to whom, that is not disrespectful. It is an act of love, not only for the person who is nearing their last days, but also for everybody who is alive. You cut down on the arguing and the fussing and the I know this and I know that, when the person who is going home to be with the Lord has been clear, then nobody has a chance to second guess the widow. And I tell you, that is one thing that can be really heartbreaking, that other people think they know your pre-planning. And tell us how that pre-planning was done. Where is it done? Is it done with an attorney? Is it done with a funeral home? Is it done with the family? Please share that with us.
It got started because our church had the session set up at the church. We didn't know everything that was going to be in it, but it talked about having a will or having an estate done when we had our I Will campaign. Now, the pastor had put in place to have someone there from Dignity Memorial and an attorney and an estate planner. He had all of those resources brought in. And it was at that time that I signed up to get, I already had it, but my husband did not have it. And this was, like I said, just September. So I made an appointment with the lady. She came to the house, had all these papers, and she presented everything that was included in pre-planning from the start to the finish. So once we signed those papers, and of course, paid money, it was a good investment because though we both already had life insurances, we both got the wills done. It just made it so much easier. It was less work for me to have to do once that got in place. And they did everything, like I said, right at the house. We signed the papers, we paid the money, and everything went in effect that day. Now, he didn't make it to pay it off in 5 years, but what we had invested, of course, was deducted, but that's where the life insurance policy came in to cover the balance of what was owed. So we didn't have to go around rustling up trying to get money to bury him, which was because of having the insurance policy from the get-go. But the pre-planning, that helped with that part. Then the next step was that I had to defer to the will. When things happen, then I could go down the will and say, okay, this one gets this, this one gets that. And the good thing about it is that my family, the children, knew what was in the will. So when the day came, nobody has to ask any questions. Like you said, what am I getting or who's getting that or whatever. Thank God no one has asked me any questions other than, are you going to be able to financially stay in the house? Because the house was something that he wanted to leave for me. And the truck.
Yes.
So I am doing all I can to see if I can at least honor that. I'm still staying in the house right now. God's taking the way, but that's where this business part comes in, because so much of our stuff was in his name only. So that income is no longer coming in here that he has. So I'm taking over what he was paying for to keep the house and the vehicle. That is the goal. That is what he wanted. I'm still going to do what I can to honor those wishes. And I know with God's guidance, it's going to be okay. I'm not struggling right now, but I'm convinced that the Lord is going to see me all the way through this to where I don't even have to go back to work, because I stopped working to take care of my husband. And now I'm just convinced that I'm going to be taken care of, because I did what I was supposed to do concerning God and my husband. So it's not easy, but long as you got good support and people you can trust and you know who genuinely love you, they just make it all the easier. And we continue to talk about him every day, every day. Just to put this nugget in, I found myself last night going through and sorting. He was such a music man. If I tell you, I have albums everywhere. I have CDs. I have DVDs. Well, I started in the CD stack last night. What did I find? All these CDs that he had made that I didn't even know about. So I started listening to him, and I'm just singing on along with him. So that was a blessing for me. It was just, I was late last night listening to him sing. And I just kept telling him, keep singing to me, I'm listening.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. That is beautiful. I want to just talk about for a moment the joy that we have when we know that our spouse is no longer suffering and that it is not disrespectful for us to be able to experience a relief and a joy for them, knowing that they've gone to a better place. Can you help us with
yes, that? Yes, yes, yes. I tell you, it's such a great joy because, Reverend Ellis, I was just reflecting this morning. The last 22 and a half years of our marriage, my husband suffered with much pain. He agonized over 22 and a half years. And God removed him from that and said, no more. You're now ready to come home to the land of no more. So that's what I keep thinking about. I love him. I miss him. But that is the joy in it. He is not suffering. He's not calling my name all times of day and night. Willie Mae, I need your help. That is so momentous for me. That is the joy, and that's why I just can't help but say thank you, God. He has new eyes because his eyesight was bad. He has new ears because his ears was bad. He couldn't hardly hear. He got a new heart. Amen. It had began to not function properly. And then his liver was on the way out. Already the kidneys are already gone. And his legs, he could not walk at all. They had set up blood clots. So when I say joy, that my husband is not suffering anymore, man, I mean that. Yes, ma'am. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is a relief because the very last day before he died, for the first time, he said, I am tired. And he was always upbeat and the positive one, you know. But when he said, I'm tired.
Yes.
Well, it could be time for you to take your rest. You deserve it. And I just ask in God's glory.
Amen.
That is why I take joy in it.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. You know, we've also learned in ministry that sometimes your body can become your worst enemy. And you just have to be willing to lay the body down and allow God to do what he needs to do. And, you know, we pray for healing. But the ultimate healing is to lay this physical body down and to go home and be with the Lord where there is no more pain, there is no more sorrow. And so we don't necessarily see that as an answer to the prayer, but it is an answer to the prayer. That answer comes when it is, of course, the time for our appointment. We don't get to schedule our appointment. And we do know that every man is appointed once to die and then judgment. And we don't know when that appointment comes, but I want to thank you for helping us to see that it is not disrespectful to feel a sigh of relief, to also have a feeling of joy that your spouse is no longer suffering, and knowing that in this new home that they get, this new heavenly home, that there's no more pain or more sorrow.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
Well, I want to thank you for that. That's going to end session one, and we're going to come back in just a few moments. Thank you so much for being with us, Sister Gordon. We'll be right back to report session two. Hello. We are so excited to have you as part of our podcast community. Thank you so much for listening. We want you to be notified every time there is a new episode. Go to our website at teachablewoman.com, scroll down and join the mailing list. Hit the button subscribe and you will be notified whenever there is a new episode. Thank you so much for listening. Bye. We are excited by the response to the Teachable Women's Retreat, July the 25th through the 27th of 2024 in Houston, Texas. Thank you so much. You are blessing our hearts in ways that you cannot imagine. We have also heard your heart. For those of you who are planning on coming, but you haven't been able to find a roommate, please hit the contact button at our website, teachablewoman.com. Let us know who you are. Let us know you're trying to find a roommate, and we will see what we can do to be of service to you. Thank you so much. We'll see you in July. For those who have not yet registered, please do so quickly. Registrations are going fast.